Mike Holmgren played football in high school and in college and was drafted by the NFL and became the head coach of the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks. And today, he is the president of the Cleveland Browns. Looking back on his stellar football career, he tells about the heartbreak of being cut by the New York Jets as a backup quarterback. Holmgren said, "I committed my life to Jesus Christ when I was 11, but in my pursuit to make a name for myself in football, I left God next to my dust-covered Bible. But after getting cut from the Jets, I pulled out my Bible and found comfort in a verse I had memorized in Sunday school." And it was then that he quoted from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." These words are from the early part of the Old Testament book of Proverbs, which is a series of teachings and sayings and sage advice. And the first part of Proverbs is attributed to King Solomon, who is said to be the wisest man who ever lived. And so he gives some very sage counsel. But sadly, Solomon often did not follow his own advice. He frequently did not trust in God with all of his heart and did depend on his own understanding. But the words are still good. They are still God's truth and carefully incorporated into the Bible, even if the person that originally wrote them didn't actually follow them. They are words that many have memorized and with that faced a choice. Because the words of Proverbs 3:5 call for a choice between trusting God and leaning on ourselves. Unfortunately, sometimes people will read something like this in the Bible and get the impression that it means that we do absolutely nothing and do not engage either with God or with life. And there's a misunderstanding of the relationship between trust and responsibility. Some years ago, I taught a weekly Bible study composed primarily of young adults. And often we would study a part of the Bible or we would get into a discussion of practical everyday things. And there would be lots of give and take and interaction. That particular week, there were some guests, visitors, that just showed up, several of them. And they were part of a fringe religious group that was traveling around the country and visiting churches and going door to door and sort of pitching their particular religious perspective. So they were there in the class when the discussion came around to how you make ethical decisions in everyday life. So, for example, what do you do if you have a really good job and you really like your job and you're really well paid and then your boss asks you to do something that is dishonest, something that is illegal? So I posed the question for discussion to those in the class, and one of these first-time visitors said, "Let go and let God." I had no idea what that meant, but I smiled, and I think I was nice, and asked other people what they had to say. But this was a guy that clearly wanted to be in control of the conversation. So whenever anybody would ask anything, he would repeatedly have the same answer. So it was like, well, what if you're in pain and you go to multiple physicians and the pain isn't cured? What do you do? And he said, "Let go and let God." So what do you do if you can't pay your bills and they're due and you're in serious trouble? And you can kind of guess what he said. It was let go and let God. And every issue, everything everybody brought up, he just repeatedly shouted out, "Let go and let God." So I decided to let go and dismiss the class early and kind of get out of there. Understand that trusting God is not just sitting on a couch, collapsing there, and expecting God to clothe us and to feed us and pay our bills and keep us constantly happy, and that we don't participate. We don't engage in what God is doing. Rather, what is being taught in this wise saying in the old proverb is that we are to have complete confidence in God and His ways. That is, a complete confidence that God's way is the best way. It's a conviction that God's truth and that God's teaching is the best way to go. It's the best way to live life. And that the other alternative is to lean on our own understanding. The Hebrew word that is used here doesn't mean lean in the sense of tilt. It means lean in the sense of how you support yourself, what you depend upon. So suppose that you sprain your ankle, you're walking upstairs, you have a choice. Are you going to lean on the handrail, or are you going to put all your weight on your sprained ankle? Or you're driving your car late at night through a city that you've never been in before, and you're starting to get lost, and you've got to make a decision. Are you going to go with the map that you have, or are you going to go with your own sense of direction? Or you submit your income tax return, and you get a $3,000 refund. What are you going to do with the $3,000? Are you going to put it in a bank, or are you going to put it in your wallet? Do you depend on somebody else, or do you totally depend upon yourself? And there can be arguments on both sides of these choices. You could say, well, if you put all your weight on the handrail, it might collapse, you'll fall downstairs, you'll break your leg, and that's worse than a sprained ankle. So you certainly don't want to do that. Or if you depend on a map, which would seem like the more objective approach, it might be a map that's wrong, or there may be bridges that are out. And if you do that, you could get into a part of town that would get you into serious trouble, maybe even be a risk to your life. And if you take the $3,000 and put it in the bank and the bank fails or loses your money, then you're completely out and you don't have anything. So you got to make a choice. And you got to decide where you're going to put your confidence, what you are going to depend upon. Proverbs 3:5 is obviously arguing that trusting God is the better choice over leaning on our own understanding. But it's still a choice that we make. It's not an invitation to put our heads on hold or to abdicate personal responsibility. It's just saying that God's way is the better way. And especially in ethical decisions that we have pre-committed, that is, that we have decided or chosen in advance before the ethical dilemma arises, that we will do it as God prescribes in the Bible. So that we are convinced in advance, if we trust in the Lord, that telling the truth is better than lying. That working hard for a living is better than cheating and stealing. That living a morally pure and chaste life is better than infidelity and promiscuity. That sobriety is better than drunkenness. That giving is better when we give to the poor than when we keep in greed. That loving our enemies, talk about a divine counterintuitive approach, that loving our enemies is better than hating our enemies. And it's that trusting in God that His way is the best way. And that this all translates into practical everyday life. Charlene and I once went through, it was a year, actually a little bit longer than a year, where I just got way too much money. And let me explain that. It seems that every few weeks or every month or so, these things repeatedly happen. For example, we'd go into a restaurant and we'd get the check, and it would be a third of what it should be because the server had left off the main courses. And, you know, you hate to criticize your server, but, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? Or several times, I just got way too much change. So I'm paying for something that costs $5, give them a $20 bill, and get $32 change. And, you know, you hate to criticize people's arithmetic, but and then one time we were getting a refund for something from some business, and they sent two checks for the same amount. Or what was honestly the most memorable one was with our Visa bill, where we got a totally unexpected $2,400 credit. So we called, actually, had Charlene call, and called Visa and say, well, this is not our credit. And you know what they say. All right, you don't have to pay it for 30 days while we check it out. Well, how do you pay a credit anyway? And so then 30 days later, well, they couldn't figure out what it was about, but they can investigate it. This went on and on with telephone calls and letters and talking to supervisors for well over a year until finally a supervisor, a little bit testy, said, look, if you don't like the credit, then you can file a formal complaint against Visa with the Federal Trade Commission. That seemed like a lot of hassle. I don't know. Okay, so what's the common sense, lean on your own understanding approach to a situation like this? Well, it's pretty easy. Shut up and keep the money. I mean, that's just... But Proverbs 3:5 says to trust in God, not some computer error. It took over 16 months to find, they finally took the money back, to get it straight. How are we going to live by principle and God's way of doing things? So it is a choice, and it is a frequent choice between God's way and our way. But it really begs a greater question, and that is, do we really believe that God's way is best, that his ethics are superior, and can we really trust him that if we do it his way, that will provide for us? And the resounding answer of the Bible is yes. To trust God with all your heart. Passionately, enthusiastically, completely, diligently, with long-term patience, truly, fully, and completely put confidence in God for a whole approach to life in everything. Does that mean it's going to be easy and that we're always going to have absolute clarity? We always know exactly where we're going and we always know exactly what the right answer is and how to do it? No. John Kavanaugh is... professor of philosophy. He's now the head of the ethics curriculum at St. Louis University. He took a sabbatical in Calcutta, India, back when Mother Teresa was alive and there, and worked with her and others in this astonishing ministry of helping those who are dying in poverty in the streets of Calcutta to go to a hospice where they are treated with dignity and respect and cleanliness and fed for the final days, sometimes hours of their lives. So Dr. Kavanaugh was trying to decide whether or not the future direction of his life was to stay in Calcutta in very difficult circumstances or to return to his comfortable professorship at St. Louis University. So one day he asked Mother Teresa if she would pray for him. And she said, well, what would you like me to pray? He said, well, I would like to have clarity about what to do. And she said, no, she refused to pray for him. And he asked why that was. And she said, I will not pray that you have clarity. I will pray that you have trust, that you will trust God, whether you have clarity or not. And he thought that that was kind of curious because she has such clarity. She always seemed to know what to do and what was her purpose and where she was going. And so he challenged her on that, and she answered back and said, I have never had clarity. All I have had is trust. As Christians, we often echo the words frequently stated in the New Testament that Christians are those who have trust or belief or confidence or commitment to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, in biblical terminology, Lord is a good word, but it isn't really very often used in modern vocabulary. Instead, today, we would use words like boss or leader or CEO or commanding officer. But the point here is the same, and that is that we as Christians have complete confidence in Jesus. to be our savior from sin for eternity, but to be the boss, the CEO, the commanding chief of our lives in everyday matters, that we trust him. We completely and wholeheartedly trust him. When we make this choice to trust, then, according to Proverbs 3, we become the beneficiaries of a divine promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So for a moment, picture yourself as a convicted felon, a repeat offender, who has just now gotten out on parole. And you know what the statistics are for recidivism, that too many people end up committing crimes and going back to prison. You also know that it's a challenging economy for anybody that is looking for permanent employment, and it is even more difficult if you have a felony on your record. But what you want, you say, is to go straight. And that's what God promises, that if we trust him, if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will help us to go straight. Again, it is not a guarantee of a life of ease. The word picture here is of clearing a path through a forest. We've all probably done this. You've walked through the woods, and there you stumble because there are rocks, or there are holes in the ground, or trees that are across your path, or vines that you get tangled in. And you don't really know where to go or how to do it. You can easily get lost. But if somebody goes ahead of you and clears the path, straightens it out, then that is an enormous benefit. It doesn't mean that you know what is the final destination. It doesn't mean that you know how long all this is going to take. It doesn't mean that you're still not going to trip and stumble somewhere along the way. But what a benefit it is when someone goes first to make the path straight. And that's what God does for those who trust him and follow his ways. The process for how all this works is presented in Psalm 37. It's actually a poem, a song. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Again, do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And so there is a trajectory of practical wisdom woven in to this 37th Psalm. It starts out by saying, don't fret. That's an English translation of Hebrew words that mean don't get heated up over wicked people and what they do. There is a very good, very practical test that any of us can take in front of a mirror. Actually, you can check it out with anybody else. That is that those who trust don't get heated up over everything that goes wrong. Those that fret are those who are heated up over an injustice at work. Those who fret are those who are constantly agitated over politics that they don't like and they think are wrong. And the advice here of the psalmist is that when you get heated up, just stop it. Just stop it and don't fret and trust God. When a neighbor or a coworker or a fellow student or somebody in politics does something that you think is just totally wrong, stop fretting. Just stop it and trust God. I grew up in a family where we had pet cats. And I loved the cats that I grew up with. They all looked alike. I don't know how we did that. And every one of them was named Buddy. And you'd think in a reasonably intelligent family, we could have come up with one other name, but we didn't. So all of my growing up years, I can't actually distinguish which cat was which because they looked alike and they all had the same name. And they all kind of behaved in the same way. We also had dogs. And nobody ever liked it when we got a puppy. And you know what the cat does. The cat gets kind of hissy and back goes up and fangs come out and claws are there. And the cat gets heated up by that dog. Or when there's a loud sound in the house. It's amazing how a cat can go straight up and then come back down again. But then there were those days when the cat would curl up at my feet or on the lap of a family member, and you scratch behind Buddy's ears, and the cat purrs. It's the opposite of fretting. It's trusting. In cat talk, purr in the Lord. Because when you are purring, you are trusting. When you're heated up, and when you're fretting, you're not trusting. So trust God. It's an invitation to purr and do good. So that trusting is not passive, it's active. It's doing something. It's doing good. And then the psalmist says, enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord. God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy the gifts that he gives to us. God has gone enormously out of his way to bless us with every expectation that we will have full enjoyment. And if we are not enjoying the blessings that God gives to us, that is a further indication that we are not trusting as we should be. And then this amazing statement, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I remember the day when I saw that statement in a totally new and different way. I had read it over and over and somehow misjudged it to say that if I take my delight in God, he will give me my every want and whim. That I can make a checklist of everything I'd like to have and just delight in God, and then he will check every item off. And then I suddenly saw it differently. It was like a conversion. That I saw it the old way, and now I saw it a new way and can't even see it the old way anymore. It is delight in the Lord, and he will cause your heart to desire the right things. It's not about getting every want and whim. It's about wanting everything that's right and good. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires, the wants, the practicalities of what you are after in life will be controlled by God himself. He will give you the desires of your heart. When you came into today's service, you were handed a magnet with the words of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and the encouragement to take it home, put it on the refrigerator, put it on a file cabinet, on the dash of your car or someplace else, to be constantly reminded of these words of encouragement. I would say memorize them, because they are powerful truths about how we are to live and what we are to do. To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Will you read it, say it together with me? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. God, we thank you, and that's just exactly what we want to do. In every decision, every choice, everything we think about and everything we do, to trust you, to purr in the Lord with all of our hearts, and not lean on our own understanding, that we will acknowledge you always in everything, and that you will help us go straight in the paths that you choose. In Jesus' name.